Hi, good afternoon everyone. Thank you for inviting me to speak in your Galilee Youth Worship Service. I'm sorry that I can't be with you all physically because of this COVID-19. I would very much like to see you face to face, shake your hand and have a chat with you. But because of this COVID, we have to do it online. Thank God that we have this technology available that I can share the word of God with you all, even that we are separated. And today, for our session, that we, the topic given to me is in dependence of God, and is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28-30. Right? Let me read you first the word of God in Matthew. Chapter 11, verses 28-30. The word of God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and lean on me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So let us begin our session here with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Eternal and most gracious God, we praise thee and thank thee for this opportunity that we can gather together for this youth worship service. Father, we pray even as for all of us here who are gathered to listen to thy word. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit will invoke in us a flame, a desire, a passion, to know that thou art indeed the Lord who is able to satisfy the needs of our life. Help us, Lord, to come draw nigh to thee with a clean heart, and forgive us of us all our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that, Lord, and give us a desire to know about thee and about thy word. And may thy word strengthen us even during such difficult times like this. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm glad that you can join us for this session. So you know, today we live in a very fast-paced society. Our life just zoom passes at a very breakneck speed. We live in a world where 24 hours do not seem to be enough to do all the things we need to do for the day. And the lifestyle, especially of the younger generations like you all, is always on the move. Communications with others is often short and brief. Most of you only typed phrases and short sentences in your text messaging. You look at those from the older generation, what do? They'll type up in paragraphs with a comma and with the full stops. And many times, the older generation does not even understand the cryptic messages that you guys use among yourselves. Why would you want to use, for example, you know, FYI, or YOLO or IDK, right? I don't know. Maybe it is to save time in typing out the phrases, right? And because you do not have time to do the type of everything in detail. Yes, we have less and less time for conversation today. We have the constant sensation of not having enough time, not enough leisure, not enough rest, not enough time to do things that we want to do. And then we are often unwillingly dragged and pulled along the circumstances in life rather than by our own choices. So before we could solve one problem, another one will just crop up. You know, we are pulled in all directions by the many invisible strings in our lives. Take this COVID-19 pandemic, for example, right? You know, many times, how you live during this period is not dictated by yourself, by your choice, but what has been laid down for you. And all these sometimes add up to a very stressful life. How could we survive such frantic living in our society? The only answer in life is found in Jesus Christ. When we learn to depend upon Him to give us rest for our soul. So, you know, Jesus says these words, you know, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Right? Here is an invitation of Jesus to all who are heavy laden, that he will give them rest. In the context of this passage, Jesus actually was addressing the Jews directly. Now, the Jews were people who labored and were very heavy laden with their burdens during the time of Jesus. Do you know why? Well, actually, it has nothing to do with the physical burdens. You see, the Jewish system consisted of many, many laws. And many of these laws were man-made laws. So during the time of Christ, for example, people depended heavily on the Pharisees to interpret the law for them. And do you know what? For every law found in the Holy Scriptures, the Pharisees in their interpretation will create another maybe 10 made laws in the process. And many of these man-made laws are totally strange, you know, as it is beyond the Scriptures. To give you an example, we have the fourth commandment. Do you know what's the fourth commandment? What does it say? Well, the fourth commandment simply state this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, right? But the Pharisees ask, how do we keep the Sabbath holy? So they discuss among themselves and then they come up with a definition. We keep the Sabbath holy by not working. Then they ask themselves the questions again, but what is work, right? And then they'll go discuss. After that, they'll come up with a definition. To work, it simply means to carry a burden. Then this leads further to the inquiry of the definition, what a burden is, you know? What do you mean by a burden? So listen carefully to the rabbinical definition of what a burden is based on their definition. I quote, less than a burden is food equal to a dry fig and enough wine to fill a goblet, milk enough for one swallow, honey enough to put on a wound, and enough oil to anoint a small member. Do you get it? So what they are saying is that, you know, if you carried one fig, right, you know, in your pocket and walk around in the Sabbath day, it is fine, right? You know? If you carried, right, you know, two figs, then you are working, you know. And then if you carried a glass of milk, if you can swallow it in one swallow, it's fine. But you carry more than that, then you are working, right? Now, if you carry more than what is stipulated here according to the rabbinical law, you would have carried a burden. And hence, what does it mean? That means you have violated the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. So make sure that you are not caught by the Pharisees by carrying a bottle of milk that you cannot swallow within one swallow. Or else, you'll be accused of violating the Sabbath. That's only a small part of keeping the Sabbath to the Jews. Because to add on to the meaning of this keeping of Sabbath, they have so many definitions of it, right, by the Jewish rabbi. Let me give you a further insight to it. Allow me to read to you. Like, for example, a person should not run or take long steps, but walks are permitted on the Sabbath, right? So you cannot run, you can take long steps, you can walk, you know. However, a person may run to fulfill a commandment and to do something enjoyable according to them. So if you run, go jogging is fine, you know, but don't run in the church, you know. Or don't run in the streets, right? Or else you'll be violating the Sabbath, right? And then, for example, another one is this. He said, it is permitted to read a letter that has just arrived if its contents might be urgent, but a person should not look at secular documents. So in other words, you know, you cannot read letters, you cannot read your emails, but if the letter is a registered letter or an email as a high priority, it's urgent, okay, you can check your mail, right? You know? This is what it meant, right? And then they also have, for example, another one, children should not be taught new things, but reviewing is permitted. So I wondered, you know, if today's context, if you were to follow that, what would happen? the Sunday school teachers, I think, will be violating this commandment. Unless, let's say you're a Sunday school teacher, you're teaching this week, you're teaching what you taught last week, and last week is what you taught the last week, and the last week is what you taught the last week, and so on. Because reviewing is okay, but not teaching new things, right? So in other words, in a Sunday school, you'll be teaching nothing new except those doing review. Another one, it goes something like this. Any action that may cause a fire to burn more intensely is forbidden. So it's any action that may cause a fire to be extinguished. But, you know, so in other words, you cannot make a fire lights brighter. You know, you cannot make a, or you can make a, cannot make a fire goes dimmer. So you cannot do anything to a fire, right? You know? And but he say that when there's danger to life or to public safety, a Jew is allowed to extinguish a fire. So that's why among the Jews in the Sabbath, they cannot do any cooking at all. Why cooking? You have to control the fire, right? They want no to them, right? You can't, right? You know, unless you turn on the fire before the Sabbath start and then don't touch it. Don't increase it or decrease it, leave it on, you know, throughout the Sabbath. That's why what they do is that they have slow cooker. What about lights? Lights, you know, you turn on the lights, it's also turning on the fire in the same concept. So what they do is that they leave the lights on throughout, all right, you know. But of course, he said that, you know, but if your house is on fire, for example, well, you can put out that fire, right? Strange, isn't it? Let me go through one last one with you all to give you an idea of it, right? The last one more, it goes like this. Squeezing juice from the fruit whose juice is commonly drunk is forbidden unless it's squeezed directly into the food. But the juice that comes out by itself is permitted if it began to come out before Sabbath. So in other words, on the Sabbath day to the Jews, you cannot squeeze lime juice and squeeze it out and then have a drink. No. You know, if you do that, you'll be violating the Sabbath, right? But you squeeze your lime on your mee siam. Okay, not a problem, you know, right? So you can see, you know, what do you think if having such laws imposed upon you today, you know, right? Imagine, you know, today, if the keeping of the Sabbath, you have to follow all these things, right? You know, it'll be, you know, so burdensome to all of us here, right? Now, the Word of God is what is called the Tanakh, which basically comprises the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. Torah is the first five books of Moses. Nevi'im is the prophets, and Ketuvim is the writings. That is the Word of God. However, the Jews, they have hatched the Word of God with the Mishnah, we call it. Mishnah, which is the oral traditions of the Jews. Why do they hatch it with the oral tradition? So as to protect the Tanakh. They don't want people to misinterpret the Tanakh, right? Then, in their zeal to protect the Mishnah, the oral tradition, what do? They hatch it with the Gemara, which is a rabbinical analysis and the commentary of the Mishnah. So when the common people, when they study the Word of God, what they saw is the outer layer. You know, it's like onion. What they saw is the outer layer, which was Gemara. All they think of as the Word of God is none other than just purely the man-made laws that has been written by the rabbis, you know, in the rabbinical discussion, right? And not actually the Word of God. If then, you know, if they are able to go beyond that, what they have is that, you know, the Mishnah, you know, is just oral tradition, not actually the Word of God. And the Mishnah in its English translation is 800 pages long. So to the Jews, the Mishnah is part of the law which they have to keep. So, you know, if you are Jews living that time, you depend on the Pharisees to interpret God's word to you. All they discuss about is the Gemara and Mishnah, not the Word of God, the Tanakh itself. And that's why when Jesus was among them, when Jesus taught the people the Word of God, people marveled and wondered, how come it's like a new doctrine to them? But actually it's not. That is the Word of God. What they've been learning is all the man-made laws. So you cannot imagine the burden the Jews had in keeping all these man-made laws so as not to violate them. Yet time and time again, they fail in keeping these man-made laws. And as a result, the people found it such a heavy burden to keep the law of God because these man-made laws. So Jesus said to this group of people who labor to keep all these Jewish laws and were heavily burdened by them, Jesus gave them this invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Depend on Jesus, not on the Pharisees, on the law, and I will give you rest." Well, though this invitation was primarily addressed to the Jews, however, when we look at it, its scope can also be extended to everyone alike. For example, there might be a man who labor to find a way to eternal life in heaven. He's seeking. He'll do good things in life. He may feed the poor. He may donate money to the charity. He may build houses even for the homeless and spend time with those without families. Yet, he'll struggle no matter how much and how hard he labor, because all the labor of good works will be in vain. Because why? As no man can find God on his own through his own good works. The word of God states clearly, "How are we to be saved? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9 say this clearly to us. And all his good works can never, never merit him to be saved from his sins and misery. No man can enter into heaven by his own labor other than the grace of God. Of course, we have sinned against God. All have sinned against God. We are unable to take away our own sins. And there's only one way for our sins to be cleansed. That is God himself to take away our sins. The only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we do not go into heaven because of what we have done or what we are doing or what we're going to do in the future. But rather, we go to heaven only because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He left heaven's glory to live a life of righteousness, fulfilling all the laws of God which we are unable to fulfill. And thereafter, he laid down his life on the cross for us. He shed his precious blood to cleanse us from our sins. Jesus came so that he might live, and he lived so that he might die, and he died so that we may live with him forever. So the only way into the kingdom of heaven is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to those many who are trying to seek their way into the kingdom of heaven, right, who are still outside the kingdom of heaven, striving very hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven by their own labors and their own good works, what happened? They'll be so burdened by it without coming to the truth of it. And to those who are seeking, Jesus gave this same invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, looking at this statement again, we can also draw the application for believers too. Why? Believers are also human beings who go through life with a struggle. Believers also constantly labor to overcome the afflictions in this world. Being a believer does not give you or I the immunity from trouble. I like the way how it's put in the book of Job. The Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." I'd like to digress a bit because yesterday, our sister Shirlene has given birth to a baby girl. You know, congratulations to David Cher and sister Shirlene. Thank God that both mother and child are safe. And thank God that, you know, for blessing them with a baby girl. right? So, you know, but I have to let you know, Job 14 verse 1 say, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So in other words, the moment we are born to this world, our trouble will begin. You know, it will be a struggle. In fact, you know, the first act that we did was struggle to be born, right? That is why when we come into this world, when we come into this world crying and not laughing, you know. Have you seen a baby giving birth? You know, the moment it come out, instead of crying, you know, he'll be laughing, ha, 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 ha. I don't think we have seen such an occasion before. We can never escape struggles and afflictions in life. And because of the struggle in life, we can become very tired and weary by it all. And especially, you know, as you grow older and older, the more you struggle, the more wearied and tiresome you will be, right? You know, and you know, we are stressed above all measures. We begin to wonder why life is so difficult for us. Now, to those of us who feel the stress in life, Jesus gave us the same invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friends, as are you one of those whom the Lord is addressing in this invitation? Are you stressed out with the burdens and the cares of this world? Some of the adults have really huge burdens weighing down on them. The working adults will worry about financial burden of taking care of their families, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, that some even lose their jobs. Some are worried, how can they feed their own family, take care of the family? They worried about their career, they're stressed, even by some, even though they still have the job, they're stressed by the prospect of losing their job. For some older folks, perhaps, they may be faced with poor health. Then they worried among this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, it's hard for them even to go to the hospital, or rather they would not want to go to hospital. They are not well. They worry that they may not recover even completely. And some of the older folks, they worry that they may be burdened to others, especially their own children. And some of us may be caregivers. Not that we are sick, we are caregivers. We are taking care of our loved ones who are sick. And for the love of them, we strive to do our best to balance between taking care of the sick and the family. But the burden is weighing heavily on us. For those of you, most of you here probably, who are still schooling, I'm sure that doesn't mean that you're in school, you have no problems, no troubles in life. You have your own sets of problems as well. Maybe poor relationship with your parents may so burden you that drive you to distress and despair. This is something that I noted when I minister in my ministry to the young people, is that one of the things is that plague them the most, of course, is the relationship problem. Particularly relationship, whether be it to their parents or relationship with one another. And you could feel so helpless, weighed down by your problems, so distressed by it, right? Even though you might just barely into your teens, you could face the same thing, you know. So my friends, let me ask you, at this point in time, are you stressed out in your life? Are you burdened with a load of care? Or are you loaded with a small burden only as compared to others? Well, you say, Pastor, you know, my burden may not be big burdens, you know. Sure, they may not be big burdens, but they just weigh you down. For example, if I ask you to hold a glass of water, let me ask you, how much burden does it weigh on you? A glass of water, right? Not much, right? You know? I mean, because even a young child will be able to lift up a glass of water, right? Now, consider this. What if you were to hold the glass of water, lift up a glass of water, without spilling it for 1 hour, holy 1 hour. What happened? The small glass of water, which you have no problem lifting up, Now, after an hour, seems heavier, won't it? And what if, let me ask you again, what if you were to hold that small glass of water, which is not a problem in the beginning, for the whole day without spilling? I think most probably your arms will be numbed after just 3 hours. What am I trying to say or convey with this? Is this, that little weights in our life can eventually turn into a big problem if you continue to hold on to it for a long, long time, right? So what I want to point out in this illustration is this. Regardless if your burdens are heavy or light, they can eventually weigh you down and put a tremendous stress in your lives if you continue to cling on to all these problems for a long, long time. So what shall we do? Jesus gave us the answer. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take up the offer of Jesus. Humble yourself before the Lord and seek Him. Take up this invitation of Jesus and go to Jesus. Depend upon Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus will give us His promise that He will give us rest. So, you know, here we see we can see the promise that Jesus has for us. That not only He invites all of us and will never reject us, but He also promises to give us this one thing. What's that? Rest. Yes, the rest that Jesus will give us is a perfect rest for our souls. It is a rest that is promised to all those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Take note of how Jesus said. Jesus did not say, "Come to the church and the church will give you rest." Why? Because the church cannot give you that rest. But Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." Only Jesus Christ can give rest to our weary soul. It is when we have Jesus in our heart, when we have a relationship with the only begotten Son of God and depend upon Him, then only will we be able to receive the rest which Jesus has promised us. So unless and until you yield yourself completely to God, your mere just going to church will not be a help to your soul, right? You know, going to church without a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what will make you? Just merely make you churchmen, but never the sons and daughters of God. Going into a garage, as the saying goes, going into a garage doesn't make you a car. Neither going into McDonald's makes you into a hamburger, right? Similarly, professing that you are a Christian and coming to church weekly does not make you a Christian. You have to trust in Jesus. You have to depend wholly on Jesus. To trust with Him, put your trust in Him with all your heart. And only then you will be given the promise of Jesus, the promise of eternal rest. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy what our souls long for. In this world, we have many needs. We have physical needs, and we fill our physical needs with physical things in life. If you are hungry, what do? You can eat food to satisfy your hunger pangs. If you are thirsty, you may drink, you know, water or whatever it is to satisfy your thirst, right? But no matter how much we eat or drink, there will surely come a time where we will feel hungry and thirsty again, right? There's no end in fulfilling our physical needs. Isn't that true? Whatever physical needs we can find in this world are merely temporal. It often leaves us desiring for more without actually satisfying us our needs fully. You cannot eat one meal so great that the next 1 year you don't need to eat anything at all, right? But take note that above our physical needs, we also have spiritual needs. know, there is nothing in this world which can ever satisfy our spiritual needs. Only one that can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy our spiritual needs. To the thirsty, who are spiritually thirsty, Jesus says he is the living water. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. To those who are spiritually hungry, Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus says in this metaphor, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. John chapter 6, 35. And to those who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus is the rest. That's why Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? And then look, moreover, Jesus says in the next two verses of Matthew chapter 11. Let me read to you verses 29 and 30. Jesus says, listen carefully, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here Jesus gives us a prescription to our weariness. What is that prescription for rest? According to Jesus, that is to take up the yoke of Jesus upon ourselves. Now, this prescription for weariness seems rather discomforting, right? I mean, one would imagine that a remedy for weariness, if you are weary, you know, will perhaps to take a short nap, you know, go and sleep on your bed to sleep it off. Or we would have imagined that the best remedy to weariness is to find a nice destination where there's sand and sea for a vacation. Then you come back refreshed, right? Of course, bear in mind that the rest Jesus is prescribing, as I say, is not a physical rest or emotional rest. The rest that Jesus will give unto us is addressed to our innermost heart of our souls, where no amount of sleep or vacation can be of help. When your soul is troubled, no matter whether you're sleeping on the best bed with the best pillow, you will find that you are unable to sleep. Alright? So, that's why Jesus gave us this prescription. He said, take my yoke upon you. You know what's a yoke? The yoke is Y-O-K-E, right? Not Y-O-L-K, right? You know? It's not the yellow part of the egg yolk, not egg yolk, right? But you know, it is a yolk. It's a wooden piece of equipment, you know. Take my yoke upon me, Jesus say. What? Of all the things, take your yoke? Are you serious? I mean, I got that, you know, you ask me, you know, are you serious, Pastor? Well, for those who are not familiar, the yoke spoken of here, as I say, you know, is a piece of wood which the farmers put over their oxen to plow the fields. Perhaps that would be the last thing one would imagine as a way to ease our weary labor. You're already so tired, so wearied, right? You know, and then now you have to put on the yoke upon you, you know, and the yoke is used for plowing the field. Why? You know, is that rest? So, now, take note, I would like to go through with you that Jesus spelled out clearly that the yoke is the prescription for rest rather than a hammock, you know. So in what way can we have rest by taking on the yoke of Jesus? Let me go through the points with you, right? Okay. First, the yoke of Jesus signifies the yoke of labor, right? You know? I use the word labor. Yoke of labor, right? You see, the problem with us is not that labor always weary us, right? The real problem is the kind of labor that wearies us. When our labors are solely for the pleasure of this world, to fulfill the lust thereof, then we will find that our work is truly so tiresome without meaning. We work hard and labor for our first few $1,000, maybe. You know, if you start working, wow, a few $1,000, wow, so much money, you think it's very happy, but after some time you become unhappy. Then we labor more for tens of thousands and even harder for hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. We think that by doing so, you know, we can rest from our labors and so on, right? But at the end, no matter how many thousands and millions you have your bank account, we can never take anything with us when we die. At the end of a person's deathbed, I've never come across one who says that, "Oh, how I wish I can earn another one more million before I die." Nobody will ever say that. Because they know that even though they have 1 million in a bank account, it's meaningless. So, labor is meaningless, for such a case. But if a man labors with the yoke of Jesus in the spiritual things, when he focuses on building the kingdom of heaven, he'll find his labor are sweet, because when he leaves this world, what happened? His reward is not found in this world, his reward in the world after this. When he leaves this world, he'll be reaping his rewards. So it is through the yoke of Jesus where we labor, not for the wrong priorities in life, but for things which are of eternal value. And in so doing, we'll find that the yoke of labor of Jesus is so sweet. It's a balm for our perfect to our souls, where it's so rewarding, such that no man, nothing in this world can take it away from us. So my dear friends, have you been serving the Lord? If you have not, why don't you consider offering yourself to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There's nothing in this world will take away the rewards for such a service. There's nothing sweeter and better in this life than to serve Christ and to labor for his kingdom. It is a job with eternal rewards, where there's everlasting fulfillment in this life and the next, right? So consider, serving, take up the yoke of Jesus and labor for him instead of laboring for ourselves, right? Second, the yoke of Jesus is also a yoke of leaning. As said earlier, the yoke is a piece of wood which the farmers put over their oxen to plow the fields. Now the yoke described here in this Matthew chapter 11 here is more likely what we call a double yoke, where two oxen will be harnessed together with this yoke to enable them to plow the field together. So the yoke in this case here is made for two, not one. And by yoking a weaker ox to a stronger ox, what happened? The weaker ox will find its labor lighter. Why? Because a stronger ox will relieve the weaker ox of its burdens. So by yoking ourselves unto Christ, we will find that, when we are weary, we'll find strength from him in our burdens bearing. We are not meant to go through life all on our own, apart from God. The fatal mistake for believers is to seek to bear life's burdens on a single collar. God never intends man to carry his burden alone. Instead, Jesus invites us to take up his yoke so that we can lean upon him, depend upon him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So it is when we put on the yoke of Jesus, we'll find Jesus helping us, co-laboring with us and bearing the burdens that we bear. And at times when life is tough, when our strength is almost gone, we know that we can lean upon the yoke of Jesus, where he will pull our burden as we rest in him. The secret to peace and rest in the Christian life is found in putting on the yoke of Jesus so that we can lean upon him. My dear friends, at this moment, stop for a moment and ponder over your own life. Have you been trying to shoulder all your burdens on your own? Have you been living your life so far depending upon your own strength, your own skill, your own wisdom to go through life? Is your burden too heavy for you to bear? Take on the yoke of Jesus and lean on him. The psalmist said these words of comfort for us. He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And likewise too, the apostle Peter urges us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So my dear brethren, may you cast your cares upon Jesus, because he truly cares for you. The third point which I want to highlight is that the yoke of Jesus is also a yoke of learning, right? This is evident from the words spoken of by our Lord in Matthew 11. Notice that when one is yoked to Jesus, what happens? You take on the yoke of Jesus. You cannot go on your own anymore, right? Both are coupled together. So the farmer usually yokes a young ox to a bigger and older ox. Why is it so? The older and bigger ox is well trained, while the smaller one is a young animal, which is new, maybe new to the yoke. So by yoking them together, the knowledgeable and older ox will teach the young ox how to plow the field. Because if the young ox is left to itself to plow the field, he will not be able to learn how to plow properly. Most probably, he'll end up plowing itself to death. But when yoked together with the older ox, the young ox has much to learn from the older ox. Through the yoke of Jesus, so not only do we lean upon him, but what happens? We also learn of him. We follow him. When we are yoked to him, we cannot go anywhere except to follow him. And we follow his direction in our life. The problem many of us face today is that we know so little about our Lord and his ways of dealing with us. So even if the Lord were to manifest himself mightily before us, we may not even recognize that it is the work of the Lord itself. Then how can we learn of him and trust him if we know so little about God and his will for us? God's desire is that we may know him and to make him known. And we, can only learn of him when we abide with him and be constantly by his side. That is one of the most important elements of the yoke. It keeps us bound together with Christ in a place of closeness where we can be taught by our Lord Jesus. Do you know that a child learns more by being close to his parents above anything else? When a child first started out, what does he do? He'll just look at the parents, right? The parents will teach him, mama, mama. Then he'll just mimic the parents and to learn, right? And then, whatever he saw the parents do, the child, he'll just duplicate or mimic and learn it, right? That can only happen if the child is close to the parent. Likewise too, if we cannot learn anything from God, if we are not close to God in the first place. That's why Christ desires us to be yoked together with him, right? So that he can teach us and direct us in our life. Thus, let us make it a point to put on the yoke of Jesus in our daily lives. So that why? We can walk close to him and learn of him. So may Jesus be your guide every day in your life. Take on the yoke of Jesus. Well, I would like to don't want to take up too much of your time. And in closing, so let us remember the invitation of Jesus unto us all. Come unto me, Jesus say, and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, this is an invitation of Jesus unto you and I, and those who are labored and are weary by it all. Go unto Jesus, for he promises he'll give us rest. It is a rest that no one else in this world can give you. It's a rest for your soul where Jesus, only Jesus can give. Take on the yoke of Jesus in your life. Because the yoke of Jesus is a yoke of labor for things which are of eternal value and fully satisfying in life. The yoke of Jesus is also a yoke of leaning, where we can depend upon him for strength and grace when we are wearied, we are very wearied by the things in life. And finally, the yoke of Jesus is also a yoke of learning, where we can learn from him as he directs our paths. As we stay close to him, He will guide us in our ways and in life. I like the way how this Ralph Carmichael, some of you might know him, how he penned out these words of the song called Reach Out to Jesus. So he wrote, he said, "Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call." So let us remember that if you are carrying a heavy burden, depend upon Jesus. Call upon him. And even as Jesus says it 2,000 years ago, he says it now. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So my friends, is your soul weary and restless today? Don't delay. Come unto Jesus. Reach out unto him. Depend upon him. Then you experience a wonderful rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, may your soul find rest in Jesus. May your soul be restless till you find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us pray. Our eternal and most gracious Father, we praise thee and thank thee, because it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can find rest to our souls. Father, even thou hast given this invitation to the people 2,000 years ago, but yet it is applicable to us today. And Lord, we pray for those among thy people who might be burdened and wearied in life. Help them, Lord, comfort them with this word of the scriptures, that they may come unto thee, and that they may experience the rest that their soul has longed for. Teach them thy word. Help them, Lord, to labor for the things that are of eternal value. Help them, Lord, to lean upon thee and to depend upon thee, and teach them that they may know the way and the path in life, that they'll go in with full assurance that thou art with them. Father, we pray for thy people, that thou protect them during this time of the pandemic and keep them safe for our Lord Jesus' sake, that they may be light amidst in this world, that people may see the light and glorify thee in heaven. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for listening to the preaching of the Word of God. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.